Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark Pearson. Now, here's the deal. Things have been, going quite well in the markets. But can you put a price on clarity? I think this is a very good, deep philosophical conversation that we're going to have with Mark today, because sometimes people think when things are going well that, well, you know what? They don't need to focus on clarity. And you know what? They really need to focus on clarity now as much as they've ever had. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Biggie. You are correct. Keep going, brother. You're on fire.
I know.
You're in fuego.
Okay. Being in fuego, right? Something just came across my news feed that there's like, and this is the number with the letter T, trillions of dollars on the sideline because people have been kind of cashing out, right? As the market keeps going up.
Are you serious that just came across your wire?
Trillion. Yeah, dude, it was a trillion.
That's exactly what I'm going to talk about today.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes.
Dude, well, at least we read the same news, brother. I mean,
obviously, and this is not preset. We did not discuss this before the show today.
We did not. All right. Well, tell me what your take is on this, dude.
Well, okay. So let me start with a couple quotes. People who know me as a portfolio manager, I often say, you know, we invest a lot like Warren Buffett. I believe philosophically in many ways similarly to him. There's also another very successful money manager that's not really talked about as much, but used to be very big and talked about a lot when he ran the Fidelity Magellan Fund, and that's Peter Lynch. Warren Buffett is known as what's called a value investor. Peter Lynch was known more as what's called a GARP investor, growth at a reasonable price. I never like categorizing I'm a value investor, a GARP investor, a growth investor. Because when I invest in businesses, my expectations are they're going to go up in value. So if I'm buying something, the price is relative to the value I believe it has in today and the future value of it. So I'm not a growth or a value guy. People, you know, if they were to analyze my portfolio, they'd see that the category of our industry has put me in growth and value stocks. Growth at a reasonable price maybe is the best way to put it. But Peter Lynch has a couple of really good quotes. Have you ever heard me say that investing with clarity, Nepsis, is all about knowing what you own and why you own it?
I have. That's the first time in a year, 24 podcasts, I've ever heard you say that.
Really? Know what you own and why you own it?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. That happened a couple of days ago.
I have not said that on the podcast. And I only bring it up because apparently Peter Lynch had that same quote at one time.
Really?
Yeah, it says know what you own and why you own it.
Oh my gosh.
I did not know that previously.
Hold on. Do we have to give him credit now every time that you say that?
No.
Okay. No. All right, keep going. I'm sorry.
I don't think so. So another one I think is really important, not only to know what you own and why you own it, which is what Nepsis is, ultimate clarity, the power of knowing what you own and why you own it. And I always said this because it is not uncommon for me to talk to, you know, people, you know, socializing with people. And they say to you, what do you do for a living? And I say, you know, I manage money. And they say, oh, how do you manage it? And I say, well, you know, we invest in businesses primarily through the stock market, but we also do some private equity also. And, you know, I've heard business owners say many times in the past over the 25 years I've been doing this that, oh, I don't invest in the stock market. Stock market's way too risky. I would rather invest in my own business because I at least know what I own and why I own it. And that is the impetus of know what you own and why you own it. Business owners, ironically, and many people think that they invest in the stock market. They don't. The stock market is nothing more than the greatest tool ever created to bring buyers and sellers of businesses together, period. It's like a vegetable market, a meat market, you know, flea market. You have a stock market where people buy and sell businesses every day. That's how investors should look at it. The second thing, Matt, that I think is very important is this other quote from Peter Lynch, which is, quote, people who succeed in the stock market also accept periodic losses, setbacks, and unexpected occurrences.
Yeah.
Calamitous drops do not scare them out of the game. All right. Now, at the end of the day, as I've often said, you don't lose anything until you sell something that you paid more for. Then you've lost. A piece of paper that says what something is worth does not make it that value at that point. In fact, many times, you know, people get their monthly statements, their quarterly statements, say, I lost money this quarter. I made money this quarter. You didn't make or lose anything. You don't make or lose money until you sell an investment. Mm-hmm. And as Peter Lynch aptly says here, people who succeed in the stock market also accept periodic losses. I think obviously he's referring to the volatility that happens within the value of businesses. Volatility in the stock market, as you know, we say all the time, is opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now, the industry tries to tell us that volatility is risk. And the reason why I believe the industry does that is because people don't have a freaking clue what they own in their portfolios. People own all these mutual funds and ETFs, and they have financial advisors moving them around from this ETF and this mutual fund to that mutual fund and that ETF all over the place. And the fact of the matter is no one even knows what they're moving. They're just banking on this money manager who goes to the stock market, goes to the market. I go to the market every day, and I look for businesses that I want to buy on sale. Mm-hmm. And that's the mentality that people should have. Now, why is that the mentality? Why the power of Nepsis, the power of clarity? To get back to what you aptly just said, as the title, cash is king, as a contrarian indicator, that is. In other words, if you got people going to cash, that's a contrarian move. You should be buying. I often talk about the AAII survey, Matt, the American Association of Individual Investors. They do a weekly bullish bearish sentiment. Bullish sentiment got down to like 24%, 23% like a month ago,
really?
Which is like historical low. And the average is like 38%. Lo and behold, it's now up last week. It was at 34, I think, percent. Well, that's great after the markets had, what, about a 5, 6% move after that?
Yeah.
We're now trading the markets, the S&P 500, Dow, NASDAQ, they're all trading at all-time highs.
Well, let me ask you this. Hold on. Should people, and I know you're not giving advice here, but just philosophically, this is a good time though, right? I mean, the volatility and everything going up, this is a good time to take profits, but just doing what a lot of people are doing, which is what this article said, was they're squirreling this cash away. They're not using volatility to their benefit to be able to buy other great companies that are now on sale for whatever reason. Is that a fair statement?
Right. So here's the bottom line. Yes, taking profit is always something you can do. I often talk about if you're going to invest, you have to, number one, asset allocate. Number two, you need to have a buy discipline. And number three, you need to have a sell discipline. Taking profit, there's nothing wrong with taking profit in a business you own to reallocate that capital to another company that maybe is struggling right now. Now, that said, look, the people are squirreling money away, in my opinion, because they don't have clarity. They don't know what businesses they own. And I woke up this morning and some guy was on CNBC talking about how all this yield curve stuff that happened in a recession usually happens 16 to 20 months from that point. So he's saying 16 to 20 months from now, we're going to have a recession. We've been pounding the table on our radio show and to our clients and our advisors. We don't see a recession coming anytime near future in 16 to 20 months. And by the way, no one addresses, man, this is what absolutely frosts my hide. People who come on and say, we're going to have a recession in 16 to 20 months. And so therefore, you know, you should sell. Guess what? 20% pullback in the fourth quarter of 2018, that was your pre-recessionary sell-off if you're going to have one. Actual, statistically speaking, Matt, markets are up an average of 1.5% during recessions. Hmm. Isn't that interesting? But everyone wants to scare people into talking about recessions. Know what businesses you own and why. And by the way, we're traipsing now at all-time highs. Nervous investors, this comes from my crack research team, by the way. Nervous investors have socked away $3.4 trillion in the cash.
Okay, I just remember seeing the T and freaked out about that. Now, hold on. I'm first off, Man, you're fired up about this, which is awesome. Yeah. You can just hear the passion in your voice here.
Thank you.
So obviously the media is getting it wrong again. We know that they're consistently making, screaming fire.
A lot of economists, advisors, and economists too. Okay. I'm going to give you some more stats.
Oh, good, good, good.
I'm going to tell you, look, let me give you these stats, okay? So $3.4 trillion away in cash, but stocks are rising and their nerves are calming, leading bulls to view the huge cash pile as a sign that markets have room to go higher. We think, we meet weekly in our investment committee. We don't think, we don't see a recession for at least 2 years at this point. And valuations are not out of line. Now, some people say they're super high. I disagree. I do think there's a shift going on from what's categorized as growth stocks to value stocks. But as Jim Cramer from Mad Money says, there's always a bull market somewhere. In other words, why do you go all the cash? There are always great businesses on sale. Always. I mean, CVS is up almost 5% today. You know, we started buying CVS. By the way, this is not a solicitation or a recommendation to buy any security mentioned on this podcast, Uncle Matt, so don't go out and buy CVS. CVS, do your own research. We started buying CVS at about $54 a share probably 6 months ago. Today, it's trading at $70.65. They're killing their earnings. It's the stock is a great company, great dividend yield, and it has been a cheap company. I don't care if there's recessions or not. Not every business is affected by a recession, number one. Number two, if you know what you own and why you own it, you look to a recession to take advantage of buying more of that great business on sale. Warren Buffett, 89 years old, said, I hope to see three more recessions in my lifetime. Well, the guy's 89. Was he going to live to 140? I mean, he wants to see three more recessions. Why? Because that's the opportunity to buy businesses on sale. So the people who've got $3.4 trillion sitting in cash right now, Uncle Matt, what are they thinking as we're hitting all-time highs right now? Oopsie daisy. Yeah. Now watch this. Listen to this. Assets in money market funds have grown by $1 trillion over the last 3 years to their highest level in around a decade, according to Lipper data, by the way. On a year-to-date basis, the positive flows into both money markets and bonds is staggering compared to stocks. And I have a chart that, you know, obviously no one can see it, but people have taken out close to $200 billion out of equity funds and have put over $400 trillion into money market, or $400 billion, sorry, in money market, and about just under $400 billion into developed bond funds. This is year to date on November 7th or 8th, whatever the date is, we're doing our show today. Now, here's where I'm going to blow you away. Even the, quote, so-called wealthy have moved to cash. A UBS Global Wealth Management survey of 4,600 wealthy entrepreneurs and investors showed that more than a third raised their cash allocations in the past quarter in response to flaring trade worries. I want this on record. You know what I've been doing over these trade worries? I've been buying Chinese companies. Oh, thank you for the sale. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, it's unbelievable the behavior of investors, Matt. So in total, cash holdings rose to 27% of the survey respondents' portfolios at the end of the third quarter from the previous quarter, even as a growing number said they were increasingly optimistic on the global economy and stock performance.
Wow.
Listen, bottom line, I fundamentally believe, obviously, and I'm passionate about it, that you cannot put a price on clarity.
Right.
You know, while people turn on the TV and listen to everybody babble about no trading fees anymore for big brokerage firms, and we're raced to the bottom and zero fees in ETFs, on indexed ETFs, nothing is free. Believe me, these guys are going to make money one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. But the industry is so focused on fee, how much you're paying your portfolio manager. How about you look at the value, the price of clarity?
Yeah.
You want to argue about the value of having clarity and staying invested in your discipline? There's a reason why people do investment policy and objective setting questionnaires here at Nepsis to figure out where their true level of tolerance for risk and volatility lie. Every time you open a brokerage account, you've got to answer a questionnaire on your investment objectives. stay to your investment objectives. Don't sit and try to guess. You're gambling. And this is why I believe the power of knowing what you own and why you own it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let's talk about that survey, because just so you know, we've actually never talked about that. You know, you say, you know what you own and why you own it just a few times. But when it comes to, you know, a true risk tolerance, right? So a lot of the people are taking money off the table, whether they think that there's going to be increased volatility, which in their mind would be, you know, the stock market going down and them losing money. What sort of questions do you ask these people? Because I want you to answer this, because here's the deal, Mark. People listening to this podcast might fall into these categories. And they might say, oh, my God, well, you know what? I like how they're looking at this. This is really how I define my risk tolerance. And maybe some of that $3.4 trillion will just start filtering right into Nepsis.
Okay, so let me, there's one question on scenarios. If the quote-unquote stock market had a 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50% correction, you know, where do you feel you would start being uncomfortable and don't want to see that happen? And they check a box. Okay. Now, I don't do this anymore. I mean, obviously, my advisors do, but I used to do these questionnaires for people all the time. I will tell you that 100% of the time when I've done that questionnaire, I would say to the person, they would say, for instance, well, at 20%, I'm getting pretty nervous. That seems to be kind of the middle ground, the balanced area, if you will. And I would say to them, okay, let me ask you a question. If you were able to log into your computer and you were literally able to look at your account, and in your account, you saw the companies you owned. You saw the Visas of the world, the CVSs of the world, you know, the Citigroups or Bank of America, whatever the companies are, right? You know a lot of these companies, right? Would you feel the same about that 20% correction, or would you feel more comfortable? And maybe 30%, you get more uncomfortable. Every single person goes up to the 30.
Oh, totally.
Goes up another level.
Right.
So in other words, what that should tell you is that the psyche of the individual really is hindered by not knowing what they own and why they own it, right? And so all these people are moving to cash because they own all these mutual funds and exchange traded funds. And the reality is, their mentality is, I invest in the stock market. When the reality is, you're not investing in the stock market. You're investing in businesses and you're selling these mutual funds. You're selling these exchange traded funds and going to cash because you don't even know what businesses you own. You don't even know where the greatest risks lie in your portfolio. So no wonder you go to cash. And it's like going to Vegas and not knowing if the ball is going to land on red or black when you play roulette, because you just don't know what's going on. But what if Visa goes from 180 to 150, would you like to buy more?
Yeah.
Of course you would, yeah. Right? Now, people always say to me, well, if you're 100% invested, and this is very important, people say to me, well, Mark, if you're 100% invested in, you know, the portfolio in stocks, let's say, and there's that big correction, where are you going to go to buy more stuff on sale?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I love that question.
That's a good question. I should have asked you that question.
Because it's easy.
Oh, good.
If you have a portfolio of 20 to 35, 40 companies, not everything's going down. Mm-hmm. Not everything's going down the same amount. And what corrections give you the opportunity to do is take profit in some areas, recapitalize it in the other areas that you believe are vastly on sale. It's precisely what we did during the 20% correction in the fourth quarter. We tweaked the portfolio. And of course, as you know, we had the situation where Celgene got bought, mm-hmm. right? We bought Celgene at like $65. It had gone down from 98 or something like that. And it got bought by Bristol Myers at like 106. Let me give you a couple of names of stocks here that people sold. December 24th was the bottom, right? I'm going to give you some names of companies here and how much they're up year to date. You think China's a horrible place to be investing right now? JD.com is up 57.26% this year. Visa is up 34.47 as of right now. Bizon, another Chinese name, up 43.5% this year. Citigroup up 43%. General Mills, who everybody hated and thought was a crappy company and was having troubles, is up a paltry 34.8. By the way, this is without the dividends Wow. Even performers, IQ out of China is up 17.5%. Chubb, 16.5%. MasterCard, 43%. You picking up when I'm laying down? Lockheed Martin's up 44%. Raytheon, 25%. AIG, 40%. I can just go down the list. E-Trip, our Chinese name, because don't invest in China. That one's up a paltry 29% year to date. My point is that while everybody's moving to cash, you should be a contrarian.
Yeah.
You should be sticking more than ever to your investment process. Now, does that mean you're not always doing research? You're always looking at opportunities. Yeah, here I'm always looking at opportunities and businesses to invest in. Jeremy Siegel has said, the famous Wharton School business professor, it's time in the stock market, not timing the stock market. We take it a step further and say it's time in a business, not timing a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So look, when you look at how people are thinking, here's the other problem. Unfortunately, a lot of money managers are thinking the same way as the investors. Fund managers polled in the bank's latest survey said they are holding an average of 5% cash of their portfolios, 5% in cash. That compares with a 10-year average of 4.6. So Barron's conducts a big money poll twice a year in the spring and fall with help from Beta Research out of New York. The fall poll drew responses from 134 money managers across the country. After a big year for U.S. stocks, make that a big 10 years, America money managers are money managers see trouble ahead for investors. Blame it on the muddled economic outlook or the increasingly fractious political landscape, any of which could stifle stocks advance in coming months. Now, listen, we have pounded the table all year to our advisors and our clients about this. I completely disagree that we have trouble ahead. Now, in markets, Matt, in economic expansion and contraction, you should expect recessions. Recessions are normal, they're expected, and frankly, they're healthy. Okay. Now, I don't know when the next recession is. I don't know. We do modeling here internally. We look at the numbers. The percentage of the potential for a recession has increased over the last couple of years, not to the point where we think it's bad. And as a matter of fact, I actually think that a recession is less likely now than we've seen in a long time. And I'll tell you why. I believe the stock market is a leading indicator of economic growth. With all this cash sitting on the sidelines, eventually, Matt, they're going to say uncle, and they're going to start investing. And there are what's called secular bull markets, cyclical bull markets, secular bear markets, and cyclical bear markets. A bull market is a rising market. A bear market is a flat to down market. Cyclical is short-term. Secular is long-term. We're in the longest bull market right now, supposedly, in history. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically, when secular bull markets end, they end on euphoria. Now, if you do you think we're in a euphoric market at all?
No,
no chance. You know, I've used this quote from Sir John Templeton many times, famous old portfolio manager. Quote: bull markets are born on pessimism. I think we're on the verge of another next leg of a bull market right now. They grow on skepticism. They mature on optimism. And they die on euphoria. We're not even remotely close to that euphoric moment. Secular bull markets end historically with an average price to earnings ratio of the S&P 500 at 25. I think we're at 16 right now, 16.5, somewhere in there. Historical average. We're near the historical average. I haven't seen the latest. I haven't gotten the latest numbers from my research group, but we're not even remotely close to a secular bull market being done. In 1999, when the last bull market died and we entered a secular bear market in the early 2000s, the S&P 500 was trading at 29 times forward earnings. Six or eight top 10 companies in the S&P 500 made up over 80% of the total S&P 500 return in 98, 99 timeframe. we're not remotely close. And I believe that those dollars are going to come back, and they're going to come back in full force, and trillions of dollars sitting on the sideline eventually will go back to work. And while everybody put all their money into bonds, and interest rates, by the way, are now creeping up, investors, by the way, have no idea how to invest in bonds. They really don't. Mm-hmm. I think investors are in for a really, really rude awakening as it pertains to bonds and as it pertains to equities. There are great businesses on sale right now. That is the bottom line. Can't put a price on clarity, my friend.
Amen to that, brother.
You own it, why you own it.
Great businesses on sale. Mark, thank you very much for your thought leadership today, man.
My pleasure. Always good to be with you.
Now, if you are one of those people who moved your money to cash and are in money markets, the trillions of dollars in money markets and cash and all of that sort of stuff, and after hearing what Mark has to say and how truly investing with clarity can make such a huge difference in, well, your investment life, in your personal life, and really listening to the right information, please, please make sure that you reach out to them. All you have to do is go to investwithclarity.com. Super, super easy to find everybody, and we'll make sure that we have those links in the show notes. So for everybody at Nepsis, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.